In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, this evening is the 5th of October, which for us means it's the eve of the 6th of October, which is the anniversary of the canonization of St. Jose Maria in the year 2002, so 18 years now. And it's a time of thanksgiving. We say, thank you, Lord. We thank you not just because of this proclamation of the sanctity of St. Jose Maria. I mean, it does give us great joy, of course, to know that he's kind of officially declared to be in heaven, to be rejoicing for heaven with that reward for such a saintly life. And since we all are in some way part of that family, we all share in that joy. But it's not simply rejoicing that one person has made it to heaven. What we are really thankful for, what we are celebrating, I suppose we could say, is the fact that St. Jose Maria has opened up for all of us a way to be holy, a way to be holy in the middle of the world. And as we are aware, there's this notion of sanctity or holiness for most of history, really, certainly from the early centuries of the church until fairly recent times, in this 2000 year period. For most of that time, the ordinary people didn't have the idea of being saints. There was something that wasn't on their horizon. The saints were people for them. The saints were people who were somehow, well, certainly special, but maybe they also thought of them as of being odd as well. And certainly when you look at the many different saints, some of them did do some quite odd things. You wonder, I suppose they must have had a special grace that led them to, for example, there's St. Simon Stylites, who lived for many years on top of a pillar. Well, that was his way of sanctity. I'm not sure how he ate. I don't know if people threw bread up to him or something. Anyway, he would do this and do sort of limbering up and things on top of this pillar and bending over and touching his feet with his head 1,000 times a day or something. You know, so there's people like that. They kind of put you off, really, don't they? Put you off this idea of sanctity. And then people's ideas of saints, I suppose, formed by the statues that they've seen in different places. And all in all, you think, well, is anything else on offer? And what St. Jose Maria is saying, yeah, there is something else on offer, actually, which is to be normal and to sanctify normal life by being a normal person, doing normal things. And this is the great light that he received in 1928, on the 2nd of October 1928, and that he spent his life propagating, spreading this knowledge that it's possible to be a saint in ordinary life. And so it's kind of opening up a completely new panorama, really, because the average Christian, the average good Catholic, I suppose their aim in life would be to make sure they avoided mortal sin, that they didn't die, you know, in sin, that they, when they died, they were in a state of grace. You know, that would be their kind of the guiding light. But it's, you might say, it's quite a sort of negative way of approaching life, isn't it? Just to say, well, the important thing is that I don't fall into grave sin. You know, it's like saying, well, you know, I want to go on a driving holiday, you know, around the world. Well, the important thing is I don't drive into ravines and don't sink the car in lakes. And, well, no, that's not important. The important thing is to move around and go to different places. So the important thing for us is to realize that it's possible for us to have a relationship with God in ordinary life, that we don't have to kind of wait until heaven in order to be with God, but we make it a reality of our life. We realize the reality of our Lord's promise when he said, I am with you always, I'm with you always. And what we discover, what we are discovering little by little, is that it's possible to be with our Lord in our ordinary activities, in our ordinary work. So this is the big idea, the idea of sanctification of work, of ordinary work. So the work that we're called upon to carry out each day, whether it's in the office or whether it's in the home, and whether it's working, you know, in the presence of other people or whether it's working via Zoom. I learned last week the expression Zoomed out, which seems to be people are fatigued by Zoom, but I mean, maybe it's just something you have to carry on with, isn't it? Zoom. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the only way at the moment. And this is, you know, whatever work we do, it involves persevering, it involves trying to be cheerful, it means getting on with it, doesn't it? Whatever task we happen to have, even sort of glamorous jobs, really, they involve a fair amount of kind of tedious repetition. But every job involves the possibility of exercising the virtue of charity, the virtue of patience towards other people, realizing that other people also have their struggles and their challenges, and perhaps what I can do through my work is to make the life of others a little bit easier, a little bit more pleasant. So this is what St. Jose Maria has kind of awoken in everyone, this possibility of sanctifying the tasks that I have before me, to take my work, the responsibilities I have, and to try to do it as well as I can. Try to do my work the way that you, Jesus, would work if you were in my position. And of course, St. Jose Maria used to like to contemplate Jesus as he worked away day after day in the carpenter's workshop. So there would be a lot of repetition there, a lot of tedium, I suppose, but it wouldn't be tedious for our Lord, because every nail that he hammered into the wood, or every time he used the saw or the plane, or he swept up the shavings, whatever, every time he did that, he knew he was doing the will of his Father, and he was already carrying out the redemption. Now, there's a nice quotation that comes in the book Christ is Passing By, about work, where St. Jose Maria says, work is born of love. It is a manifestation of love and is directed toward love. We see the hand of God not only in the wonders of nature, but also in our experience of work and effort. So the wonders of nature, you know, there are all these great wonders of the world. Think of Mount Everest, or you think of the Aurora Borealis, or you think of the Victoria Falls, or the Grand Canyon. I heard a story about this. It was supposed to be this large American woman standing with her small henpecked husband overlooking the Grand Canyon, looking at that gift, and the canyon cut by the Colorado River for 200 or 300 miles, and some of it 18 miles wide, and some of it reached the depth of over a mile. So it was a very spectacular view. So anyway, this lady was there with her little husband, and she said to him, called Elmer, as you know, Elmer, looking at this makes you realize how insignificant you really are. So, anyway, so we look at the wonders of nature, and we think how great God is. There's a hymn about that, isn't it? How great thou art. When I survey all the wonders of the world, how great thou art. So these great wonders of nature, but what St. Jose Maria is saying is that we see the hand of God not only in the wonders of nature, but also in our experience of work and effort. In some way, we can say the work that we do well done is more beautiful to God than all of his work, than the work of his creation, because it's done with love. I mean, from his point of view, his work of creation, of course, is done with love. I mean, it's all an act of love towards us, and we think how wonderful God is to prepare for our coming into this world, the coming of each one of us, that he's prepared all these wonders, and he's prepared the sun and the moon and the solar system and the stars and all the beautiful things of this earth. He's kind of prepared it before we arrive. We arrive to benefit from these gifts, to benefit from his work. And he's saying, well, I would like you to take part in that work of taking this world and making it a better place. And this was one of the great insights that St. Jose Maria had, because when he looked at the early accounts, the accounts of creation and of our first parents in the book of Genesis, he realized that God had said to man that you should work, that God placed man and woman in the garden to work, to till the land. And this was before any sin, this was before the fall. This was the Garden of Delights, and he placed them in this Garden of Delights so they could delightfully work. It would be a wonderful thing, because they would be participating, sharing in this great project of God, this wonderful, wonderful paradise that he placed them in. Of course, as we know, they rejected God, they sinned against him, and they were excluded from the Garden of Paradise. And they were told that they would need to work now with the sweat of their brow. So work then took on that hard aspect, you know, the work involved suffering, or can involve suffering, it involves, you know, tiredness, it involves boredom sometimes, or it involves pressure that we find hard to put up, you know, it involves all kinds of things that weren't part of the original plan. But nevertheless, it was part of the original plan. We should collaborate with God. And this is something that through the spirit of Opus Dei, through the spirit of St. Jose Maria, we try to recover that actually, when I do my work for you, Lord, when I do my work and try and sanctify it, when I do my work and try and offer it up, try and turn it into a prayer, then I am actually taking part, playing my part in your work of creation. That in some way I'm contributing to making this world a better place, you know, with the knowledge that I bring or the service that I perform. In some way I'm doing something to make the world better than I left it, which is what you did. I mean, physically, Lord, when you were working here, you made tables, chairs, maybe you made handles for flowers, or maybe you made the wooden yoke for the oxen, or maybe you made window frames, whatever. I mean, they didn't last forever, but they would have been a service at the time. They would have made life pleasant for the people at that time. And so, you know, we try to do day by day something that's going to make life pleasant for other people, and we offer it up. And although the work we do may not remain forever, the value of it somehow remains forever, because it acquires an eternal value of eternity. So this is something that we're very grateful to St. Jose Maria for, and this is, I suppose, why we say we make a fuss, or we rejoice, you know, at this anniversary of his canonization, because it is something that it's like providing millions of people with a key to help them to unlock the mysteries of this life. You know, I suppose there are many people who are just trapped and feel trapped. You know, they think, well, I've got this life of drudgery, and I've got to do this each day, and there's no way out. And I remember some time ago, one of the dustmen around here, I met him one afternoon, and anyway, I said something, I can't quite remember what I said, it was trying to be pleasant. He says, we have to work every single day, nothing we can do about it. That was his philosophy of life, I suppose, really. He felt a bit sad for him, because he just saw it that way as drudgery, and he's going to endure it. And what we are coming to realize is that every day, Lord, is a chance to be with you. Every day is a chance to take what I have before me, the raw material, I suppose, of my work, and turn it into prayer, and contributing in some way to the redemption, your work of redemption. I offer it up for different intentions. I offer it up for the souls in need, friends, and through my work, I try to exercise those virtues that you would exercise. You can imagine you working away in a workshop, and somebody would look in, and we can think how well you can stop and say hello and pay attention to them, even though they're interrupting you. And I sometimes wonder, you know, when Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees, for example, he would say, is there any of you that if his ox fell into a ditch, he wouldn't go out and rescue him, rescue the ox, even if it was on the Sabbath? I just wonder if that's kind of a scene from everyday life there, you know, like these days, maybe a car might go off the edge of the road. In those days, maybe an ox would go off the edge of the road. So perhaps Jesus would be working away, making some table or something, and cry with him, hey, come and help, the ox is falling in the ditch. So the village, I suppose, would come out with ropes and things and pull an ox out of the ditch. I don't have personal experience of doing such a thing, but I just wonder if our Lord might have had personal experience of that, because all his examples tended to come from everyday life. So we're just saying that because, you know, we can imagine that he would be he would be ready to be interrupted, and he wouldn't kind of, you know, get annoyed, like sometimes we get annoyed and trying to work and the phone rings or something, or if somebody comes and asks us something. Mm-hmm. So help me to have your attitude, Lord, as I work. And another thing that St. Jose Maria used to like to reflect on in this connection is the donkey. He would see himself as a donkey, a hard-working donkey. But I like to speak about our life of work, making use of a metaphor, of a parable, that of the donkey by the water wheel. I feel attracted to this patient and hard-working animal because the donkey is resilient and austere, because it is humble, but above all, because it works, because it knows how to persevere day in, day out, turning the water wheel, drawing up the water that will make the orchard bloom. The donkey is happy with anything, even with blows. It works away steadily, and it has enough to eat with a fistful of straw or grass. So the donkey, a simple, uncomplicated animal, the donkey that would just get on with it. And of course, the donkey was the throne of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on that Sunday. Don Alvaro, Blessed Alvaro, wrote, "How can we forget that other donkey on which Jesus Christ chose to enter triumphantly into Jerusalem?" St. Jose Maria helped us to contemplate how on that day the poor donkey walked on the robes that men had spread out on flowers and leaves while the crowd was acclaiming our Lord. Bearers of Jesus, to reveal him to the world, this sums up the meaning of the life and work of the donkey, such as St. Jose Maria conceived it. I was talking yesterday to someone who knows a person of this day, and who said that this person, she was a, and he, the fellow I was talking to, doesn't really know much about it today, but he was saying that this person was a very good advertisement for the Catholic faith. He's a Catholic, and she worked very well, and very virtuous and friendly. And so it's interesting, isn't it? Being a bearer of Christ is being that donkey, humility of carrying Christ into the lives of other people through being pleasant, through working well, through being very close to Jesus Christ in all that we do. And so Jose Maria also gave some advice about how to make sure that we are working with a right intention, that we're not just working out of vanity or just this desire for self-affirmation, that sort of thing. So he said, well, first of all, try to make sure you look after your interior life. So don't let your work be an obstacle to prayer. And this is often a temptation, isn't it, that we think, well, I'm too busy to pray, I've got too many things to do, and we let our work sort of dominate and push our prayer to one side. But if we do that, then it becomes difficult to sanctify our work. It becomes difficult to turn that work into a prayer, really. So try to make the effort to preserve our interior life, our times of prayer. Another thing to be careful about is to make sure we look after the little things. So not to kind of do things in a chubby way. Again, I met someone who was a publisher of books, and he was saying that it costs the same amount to publish a good book, in other words, a well-produced book, as a shoddy book, in terms of the cover and the bind and everything. It's the same, you know? So if you're going to do it, well, do it well. And it's by doing it well, by doing whatever work we have, by trying to do it well, that we turn it into an act of love. By looking after the little details, not just kind of doing a kind of second-hand, shabby, second-rate thing. There was a story that was told of one of the ministers of state in the United States some years ago, and one of his juniors had produced a report for him, and he handed it in, and then when he got back to his office, the phone rang, and the Secretary of State was on the phone saying, is this the best you can do? So the fellow thought, So he redid the report and gave it in. And the same thing happened. He got phone call. Is this the best you can do? And he got really worried, and he spent the whole weekend just doing this report for a third time. He handed it in on a Monday morning. And then the phone rang. Is this the best you can do? And he said, well, quite honestly, he said, I've done all the research possible. I've covered every single aspect. And I would say, yes, it is the best I can do. And his boss said, well, in that case, I'll read it. So anyway, the boss didn't have sort of much in terms of empathy and things. But still, the point is that we want to do the best, because by doing the best, we are showing that our heart is on you, Lord, and we're not just doing it to get things out of the way, or we're not just working for human considerations, but we're doing it because our work, my work is your work, Lord. We're working together. We're making this world a better place. We're contributing to making life better for other people. And then another piece of guidance from St. Jose Maria is to try and make our work an opportunity to do apostolate, to try to think about the good of other people, the souls of other people, the friendship that arises by working alongside other people. We're able to share the more intimate things of life and try to maybe give them helpful guidance, or we tell them a little bit about ourselves and find out from them about themselves, and through our friendship to guide them, to bring them a little bit closer to Jesus Christ at the appropriate moment, maybe to let them know how we benefit from spiritual input and maybe from prayer, whatever it is. Things that will come as a result of genuine friendship. In a homily that St. Jose Maria gave in Pamplona in 1967, he said, "You must understand that God is calling you to serve him in and from the ordinary, material, and secular activities of human life. He waits for us every day in the laboratory, in the operating theatre, in the army barracks, in the university chair, in the factory, in the workshop, in the fields, in the home, and in all the immense panorama of work. Understand this well, there's something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations, and it's up to each one of you to discover it." Well, we can end our meditation by asking Our Lady to help us to discover or to rediscover each day this something divine, this quid divinum that St. Jose Maria referred to. We have our ordinary work, there's something divine, some eternal value in every task. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.